Chapter 3. So Beth was a mixture of pleased and nervous when she saw the tram gliding its way down the road towards her the next morning. She didn't care that all the people around her were peeved about the tram itself.
"What are they thinking? We travel the furthest and they give us this thing."
The short man with the flat feet shook his head, a sour expression on his face.
"I know, it doesn't make sense," said the woman with her arms crossed over her chest. "We should get the new ones, not the ones about to break down."
"You mark my words, they'll end up making us push it."
More tutting, more shaking of heads. Beth withdrew from the bitter conversation and stared out over the shallow valley they were in as the tram coasted down the slope towards them. Roofs of various colours and shapes stretched away under the bright blue sky, trees dotted about the horizon. The driver recognised her and greeted her with gusto, making her smile. She slid her coins, none of them antique this time, into the worn wooden bowl attached to the end of his cash box. She didn't have to look far to see Mr. Handsome.
"I really have to stop calling him that."
He was in the same seat as yesterday, but this time he was watching her as she made her way down the aisle towards him, which made her heart miss a beat. Someone else's eyes followed her too. One of the schoolboys who'd nearly knocked her flat yesterday. He was scowling. Beth ignored the schoolboy and smiled as she sat down. "I hope you don't mind me joining you again."
"Not at all," the man replied,
though his face showed a small frown for an instant before he looked down. "I'm Beth, anyway. Hello." Beth held out her hand.
"Isaac, it's a pleasure to meet you."
His tone was formal, and he even bowed his head as he took her hand in his own and squeezed it. There was no room for their hands to shake in the normal manner, as his arm was awkwardly jammed between them. Beth tried to give him a little more room, but the seats were small, and she couldn't go far. She didn't mind that much. A sudden explosion of laughter rolled forward from the back of the tram. It was the schoolboys, and though it wasn't obvious what they were laughing at, Isaac's face displayed a momentary frown. Beth leaned towards him, indicated the boys with a flick of her eyes, and murmured, "They almost bowled me over yesterday morning when I was trying to get on." Isaac frowned. "Oh dear, I am sorry." Beth smirked at him. "Why? Are they yours?" He laughed. "No." He was very definite about it. He was even more attractive when he smiled, and her stomach did a little flip-flop.
"Yikes, girl, don't get ahead of yourself."
But she leapt straight in anyway. "So, why don't you go to the library, since you're so enamoured with the place?" He sighed.
"I can't get there, I'm afraid. I do love books and learning about different places and things. I miss it terribly." His eyes had a faraway look. "I spent many a happy hour browsing through the catalogue at my local library when I was a young lad."
"You do know the library can deliver on demand, don't you?" He looked at her with one eyebrow raised.
"Really?"
"Oh, yes. If you look up the catalogue online, you can order a book via the internet." His smile was self-mocking now.
"Ah, yes, well, I don't get the internet," he explained.
Now it was Beth's turn to look at him askance. "You've got to be joking. You don't use the internet. At all?" He raised his eyebrows and shook his head.
"No, I deal with people."
But his eyes slid to the side for a second. She stared at him, frowned, and then said, "You have a mobile, though, don't you?" He looked at her blankly.
"A mobile what?"
Beth was so taken aback, he must be joking. She laughed out loud, causing the woman across the aisle to glare at her. But they weren't in a library yet. And if the woman had heard what Isaac had just said... But Beth stifled her giggle, for Isaac's sake, and drew out her smartphone, waggling it. A mobile phone? You don't even use one for work? Surprisingly, he looked as though he had no idea what she was talking about. Perhaps it was the new model he was unaccustomed to. Big screen with her cheerful yellow case on it, because she could never wear yellow. So she unlocked her phone and showed him a few of the features. The music, social media apps, the geography game. He said nothing as he stared. And of course you can make a phone call. She paused. Actually, it's a bit strange we still call it a phone. We don't use it for phone calls half as often as for everything else. He smells so good. Forcing her rebellious nose down to her phone, Beth opened the library app. Let's find a book for you. What type of books do you like? She asked. He thought for a moment. History? Beth clamped her lips together, trying not to laugh. You'll have to be more specific. She paused and then prompted him. European history? Military history? Local history? Political history? Ancient history? His eyes widened and then blinked. Recent history? The last century, perhaps? World history? Beth used the search facility and 86 books came up. But then she remembered something. Actually, I know of a particular book you might like. The Benefits of Talking to a Librarian. She grinned to herself as she flicked down the list. Here it is, she said, and showed him the description. Oh yes, sounds fascinating. He seemed genuinely interested, but then he said, lots of people use these gadgets, don't they? He was pointing at her phone. I see them all the time, fiddling with them. Gadgets? Beth grinned at him, trying her best not to mock him too much. You're kind of old-fashioned, aren't you? A flush crept up his cheeks. You could say that, yes. It all fitted. He was polite, a classic gentleman. His style of dress was conservative. He'd even referred to himself as a young lad before. And his accent. Why is it phones and not telephones anymore, do you think? He asked suddenly. She raised her eyebrows. Quicker, I suppose. Language tends towards more efficient use over time. Well, look at that. I'm not acting like an idiot. I feel comfortable with him. Then she had an idea. Shall I set up a lending account for you? I can do it right now. His eyes widened. Really? Absolutely. She selected the book and tapped Create Account. She felt happy to be useful to him. And sneaky, too. This was one way to find out more about him. First name, Isaac. I-S-A-A-C? She tried to act as professionally as possible. Professional librarian, was that a thing? Yes. Littleton. He spelled it for her and then paused. Beth? Yep. She looked up. Short for Bethany. Elizabeth, she admitted. Ah, he smiled. Elizabeth. The way Isaac said her name made Beth feel warm. She bent her head down to the screen in case she'd gone red. Address? She asked, to cover her discomfort. A long silence ensued. Beth felt the heat crawling up her neck, so she kept her head down until the silence was painful. What do you need an address for? He asked, finally. I promise I won't stalk you. Beth grinned cheekily at him, trying to lighten the mood. He looked at her, his face blank. Stalk me? Perhaps the term wasn't in his vocabulary. Beth chuckled. Well, we have to have an address to send the book to. Ah, said Isaac. He tilted his head down and frowned. Well, I'm not going to be able to give you an address, as a matter of fact. He looked away. I didn't think of that. I apologize. Beth didn't know how to react. Perhaps he thought she was creepy after all. But it was possible there was another reason, so she'd just wait and see. And hope. Back off. Now. She put her phone away. Oh, well, that's a shame. She straightened in her seat and looked forward, trying to be nonchalant. He seemed to sense a little of her disappointment, however. "Thank you for trying anyway," he said. "It was very thoughtful." Beth smiled at her hands, bending her head further forward. "Oh, dear, and it was going so well." The tram came to a halt, and a number of people got on. All the seats were full, and a woman was standing in the aisle. Isaac excused himself to Beth and stood up for the woman. At least it wasn't the businesswoman from yesterday who might have scolded him for his generosity. Once again, Beth shunted herself against the window, though she would have preferred to stay where she was so she'd be closer to Isaac. As it was, he walked right up the back anyway, so they couldn't even talk over the woman who'd sat down. Beth's shoulders sagged. She must have pushed too much. He'd probably never talk to her again now. He did seem to be holding himself back. She should have checked whether he was married or not. She hadn't looked for a ring. It must be why he hadn't wanted to say where he lived. What a fool she was. Beth's neck flamed up again, and she faced the window, biting down on her lip. She felt angry with herself, and a few tears of frustration were working their way down her cheeks. She didn't want anyone to see. This is why they run away. They were passing through a part of town she hadn't been through before. Well, she had, yesterday, but she obviously hadn't been looking out the window at the time. Everything she saw was new to her. The road widened, and the curb of the road she was looking at merged into a flat, open space. They were moving into what looked like a large central depot. There were other trams there, sitting in various bays. But they were so far away, Beth couldn't see if there was anyone in them. In fact, the place looked deserted, perhaps because it was so big. The ground was crisscrossed with tracks going in all directions. The driver stopped at one point and opened the door. He got out and somehow the tram spun 90 degrees or so. From where she was sitting, Beth couldn't see the driver at all. Getting back on, he got them underway again, the door clacking back into place. This fascinated Beth so much, she forgot her embarrassment. If only she could go up and talk to the driver about what he was doing. There were too many people to push past right now, though. Perhaps she'd do it another day. That was a good idea. She'd sit down the front tomorrow and prevent any more silliness with Isaac, the poor man. The driver was a good sort she'd enjoy getting to know. And she wasn't attracted to him, so there wasn't any risk of her behaving like an idiot. Right. No asking for his address, and don't laugh at him. This plan in place, she felt a little easier, and she watched as they passed suburb after suburb, all the time getting closer to the city. After they crossed the bridge, people were getting off again, and the tram became less congested. To Beth's surprise, when the woman sitting next to her got off, Isaac came back and sat next to her again. "What do you do at the library?" he asked. A bit shy at his attention, she looked down at her hands and kept her description short. "I run the kids program." "So you're good with children?" he asked. Most people made that assumption. It was logical. But Beth smiled lopsidedly. "Oh, not really. The teacher keeps them under control and I talk to them. She wasn't really good with children if she ever had to manage a class by herself. She panicked. Large groups of children made her nervous. She didn't have much experience with them." Beth fiddled with her mother's ring. Mum had been much better with children than Beth could ever be. The best she could do was try to remember what it had been like when she was young and act accordingly. And that didn't always work. "You enjoy your job?" Isaac asked, interrupting her train of thought. "Generally, yes," she smiled wistfully. "I love books, and the library is the best place for that." "What are your favourite—" He stopped with an intake of breath and abruptly drew his legs under the seat. "This is where you get off, I believe." He was rising already. Beth looked around. "Oh, yes, it is." She smiled at Isaac, gathering her things together. "I nearly forgot again. Thank you." Someone else had pulled the cord, and the tram was gliding to a halt.
She stood up and swung around the pole at the top of the steps. "Thanks," she called out to the driver, who smiled in the mirror. As she descended, she waved to Isaac. "Bye."
"Goodbye, Beth. See you tomorrow."
His bright blue eyes sparkled as he smiled. Bother. He'd been nice again. Now she didn't know what to think. Was he interested or not? Had she misinterpreted his behaviour? She shook her head as she walked down the alley to the staff door at the side of the library. Am I ever going to get this right?